Meet the CXO. Wir reden, was verbindet.
Hello and welcome to our podcast, Meet the CXO, the podcast where board members of Deutsche Telekom meet interesting people of our day-to-day life. In times of Corona, a lot of things are done differently. So instead of meeting clients as planned at Hannover Messe, we met for a virtual event called Accelerate Digital Now. Within this event, I talked to four very interesting C-level experts. Pat Gelsinger, CEO of VMware. Jan Mrosik, Chief Operating Officer, Digital Industries at Siemens. Christoph Wegner, Chief Digital Officer at BASF. And Arun Bansal, President Europe and Latin America at Ericsson. We discuss what is crucial to secure business continuity in times of Corona. So let's start and present to you the most interesting insights and impulses. Pat Gelsinger is not only the CEO of VMware, but also an advisor to large U.S. companies and the U.S. government in technology matters.
Thank you very much for joining us. You know, we work jointly hard in figuring out how do we enable the transformation of going to the cloud in a way that's never been done before. And today we're offering our clients jointly virtual data centers that are on AWS run by VM Cloud Technology. And we do it instead of months or quarters, we do it in days. And the multi-cloud environment, kind of the thing that we had the vision for, with this crisis, how do you see it?
Projects that might have taken years are now happening in weeks or months or even days in some cases, because all of a sudden it's the only way to do things. And we're clearly seeing this acceleration of cloud and services because it's the only way they can scale overnight to make things happen. And then moving into this phase of the new normal. And then finally, the acceleration of the digital transformation. And I've used terms like new opportunity. And let's move faster to the future. And clearly, as part of that, this idea of customers relying on a cloud environment and a multi-cloud environment, as we describe, is critical. And VMware and we together with T-Systems and Deutsche Telekom are uniquely positioned to enable that footprint. And the need not only to enable multi-clouds, to move to cloud faster, but now customers are also seeing the resilience benefits of multi-cloud. And as we think about that multi-cloud, we see it as modernizing the current data centers, as we're doing together with you, make them operate like real clouds, enable true hybrid cloud operations, so high flexibility of workload.
What would be your advice to companies who have maybe held back going to the cloud? Now they're really evaluating. What's your advice that they need to do first?
Yeah, and we think about it through two different lenses or two different constructs, Adele, as we ponder the challenges. One is, I call it the three laws. Right? Where are workloads going to go as they become more agile? And you have the laws of physics, right? We sort of said, hey, if I need low latency, you know, I can't do a 200 millisecond round trip to the cloud. I got to have it local. And that's the edge cloud and some of the work that we're doing together with you and your team. There's also the economics of the cloud, right? You know, if I move everything to one big public cloud, I've created my next IBM mainframe and my costs go up. You know, and finally, the laws of the land, right? You know, if the German government in Gaia says I have to be in Germany, guess what, right? I can't be round tripping to a U.S. cloud provider. So we think about those physics, the laws of the land, and the laws of economics as one template. The other is the application template, right? And what is my application portfolio? And as I'm thinking about my cloud migration, what do I need to do with that app portfolio? And we think about it in the sense of building new, but also re-architecting the current, re-platforming the current, re-hosting, repatriating, and finally retiring. So we have sort of the five R's that we like to look at applications and sort of saying, you know, if this one's going to retire, well, how do I get them on the path to retirement? This one I want to rehost. How do I most accelerate that rehosted environment? And if I'm going to re-architect and rebuild it in a modern container, scale out Kubernetes environment, let's start that pathway as well. And it really, against that application template, with the three laws helps us then build a strategy with customers of the right way to think about their cloud future. And at the bottom of that, you know, this is what we do together with you, is a hybrid multi-cloud environment that really allows us to do all of those approaches. And now it's just the best way to apply those templates to each customer situation.
If I would ask you for your personal advice, specifically for entrepreneurs and company in stage two, adjusting to the new reality, and stage three, what would your advice be for these companies?
Yeah, you know, it's this great opportunity to accelerate their transformation. All of a sudden, CIOs, the architectural leaders line of business, you now have the opportunity to embrace the crisis and radically accelerate these programs. I was on the phone with the CIO of the largest media company in the U.S., and he said, boy, you know, we had a couple thousand work from home customers or employees. We had to make it 50,000 in the course of a week, right? So we took that program, right, ramped it over the course of a week. And he says, maybe I should do all of my projects that way. But the ability to go fast is unquestionably proven.
So the option of just doing nothing is not an option, right? We at T-Systems and Deutsche Telekom are changing our company. I wonder if you reflect on your company, VMware, or if you look at yourself, what are your priorities now? How are you changing your R&D priorities or strategy? Are you adjusting anything, given that this crisis happened so quickly?
Yeah, don't waste the crisis. I've kicked off a bunch of work teams now on my leadership team at Dell, and I call it Faster to the Future. How are we going to go faster to the future? And clearly, some of our mobile and work from home offerings, wow, they've become a lot more important, like the SD-WAN offering for flexible bandwidth. How do we go faster? We got to make that more secure, and we're adjusting our product roadmaps and our sales priorities consistent with that. Also, how we then work with our partners in that regard. Okay, what are the joint offerings that we need to do? And hey, Zoom was a good VMware customer before. Guess what? Now they're becoming a strategic partner as we're building out the joint offerings with them. So we're definitely seeing that opportunity. But fundamentally, our strategy is the same. Enable our customers, right, you know, to build their next generation applications, to run them, to manage them, to connect those environments and secure them. So we're on the same path. We're just rapidly adjusting the priorities inside of that. It was interesting. I described this initially when it happened as the Black Swan event. And, you know, then the author of the Black Swan, Taleb, came out and disagreed with me. And he and I got into a little bit of a Twitter storm with each other. And I said, the difference isn't whether some predicted it. The difference is whether you have the economic capacity, the political consensus, the social will to do something about it. And that's what really has shifted as a result. We're now, as we think about how we care for the sick, how we educate and work, how we live and sustain community, they will never be the same on the other side of it. And, you know, I think there's so much good that comes as a result of us as a company, us as a society, right? You know, the ability to educate every child, decrease the carbon footprint, to be able to work remotely and touch every human. And for me sitting here in California to participate with you today, this is another example. I would have flown over there and done this in person with you, Adele, but now we're doing it remotely, and it's pretty effective this way as well.
It works.
Yeah, it does.
Look, Pat, listen, thank you. Thank you so much for your partnership, and thank you for participating in our event.
Thank you so much for letting me join today.
We deeply believe that the clients need to build resilient core to serve them in good times and bad times. We both believe that we want to have the most efficient, robust digital infrastructure for the economy. And unfortunately, there's a lot to do.
My next podcast partner is Chief Operating Officer for Digital Industries at Siemens. And Siemens is very familiar with megatrends such as electrification, automation, and digitization. This is why I'm happy to get insights from Jan Mrosik.
Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
Hi, Adele. I'm healthy, and that's great these days. Warm regards from my side here in Nuremberg.
Siemens is one of the biggest players in the industrial sector. And of course, Siemens Digital Industries is in the heart of digitization of Siemens as well as your customers in the outside world. How is this crisis affecting you and what are you focusing on now?
The coronavirus is a massive medical and social challenge that the world has never experienced in peacetime before. It's disrupting economic momentum and it will affect businesses for some time to come. We in Siemens have set up a crisis team for our business to continuously assess and mitigate the impact of the crisis on our people and our business. In everything we do, the health of our employees is and must be the top priority. At Siemens Digital Industries, we're doing everything possible to help overcome the crisis with the help of all our know-how and technical capabilities. For example, by supporting customers in industries that ensure adequate, uninterrupted basic care for societies, such as the production of food, water, medicine, or hygiene products. Digitalization particularly can certainly play a major role here, since efficient, flexible, and intelligent production is vital in times like these. In responding to a crisis like this, responsible action, mutual support, and close collaboration between business, politics, and society is essential. We believe business, technology, and society are not separable. Only together we can master the crisis.
We've seen different impacts on industries across the world. Some are hit more than others. In your opinion, are some industries more vulnerable than others? That's kind of part one. And part number two is, when you expand your digital infrastructure, how does it accelerate building resilience within businesses?
These days, the challenges faced by industries differ considerably, dependent on the industry that we're looking at. The automotive industry, for example, is being hit hard right in the midst of its biggest structural transformation. The medical industry, on the other side, dependent on global supply chains for equipment, ingredients, and other material, faces huge but quite different challenges. That's the challenge of scaling. And how can digitalization help strengthen industry resilience? It's clear there are three benefits that are being provided by digitalization: transparency, flexibility, and predictability. Transparency, on the one side, adds value in many ways, from providing real-time data on customer needs to ensuring end-to-end transparency, for example, for supply chain capabilities. Flexibility, secondly, adds value like the ability to work remotely based on digital workflows, which is very important in home office environments, and to refocus asset utilization based on simulations. And predictability, for the third, adds value in quality and performance based on data-driven services, which is especially helpful in times of a crisis. So ultimately, the crisis offers some compelling arguments for driving digitalization.
Jan, what about your own production in Siemens? You're one of the largest production company, manufacturing companies in the world. Have you been impacted? We've seen automotive companies stop production. We've seen airlines stop their operations. How have you guys dealt with it? And do you have any specific ideas on how to support your client base going forward?
Today, all our factories are up and running. And just in case, we're prepared for a possible worst-case scenario as well. If we had to shut down one of our plants, we can supply our customers from other factories in our global manufacturing network. I deeply appreciate the engagement of our colleagues in our factories, in the field, or working at customer sites to provide service or spare parts or help optimize our customers' production in system-critical industries. I'm very grateful for this dedication, and I know our customers are too. We see in our own factories that more than ever, digitalization helps in all steps of the production process. Take our digital factory in Hamburg, for example, where productivity is only slightly impacted by corona protection measures due to the high degree of digitalization and automation. Factory management must be in a position to work without the physical presence of their teams. This is possible if everyone has full access to the relevant information. We need to democratize data from the shop floor to our employees And our low-code software platform Mendix is a perfect enabler here. We also have predictive maintenance applications running on MindSphere that tell a factory staff 2 days in advance when something is likely to fail and must be replaced. Supply chains are more critical in a situation like this, but we have software in our portfolio that provides full transparency of the complete factory supply chain. In general, all solutions that are so successful for Amberg and our other factories are available for our customers as well. The crisis will eventually end at some point, and we then want to get back on track with our customers who had to close down assembly lines and help them ramp up their production. We are keeping our own plants going to ensure that we can make our products quickly available so our part of the supply chain for our customers is secured. Our service and maintenance teams are on standby to support the restart of production, for example, at the automotive plants. In addition, we are continuing work on setting up production facilities, such as the final assembly of the Porsche Taycan in Stuttgart or the construction of a digitized e-car production line in Zwickau.
My question is, where do we need to focus now in order to accelerate digitization going forward?
As Siemens Digital Industries, we support our customers with a holistic digitalization concept for the entire company. We call this the digital enterprise. It consists of the digital twin of the product, the digital twin of production, and the digital twin of performance, which is created in the cloud with the help of MindSphere. Automation and industrial security also plays an important role here. Some businesses will have to reinvent themselves, and digitalization will play a key role in that process. This transformation will improve their flexibility, speed, time to market, and of course, efficiency. In the end, this is about getting through the current situation and preparing for the world after Corona.
Let's look at digitization in an industrial company. Therefore, Christoph Wegner, who is Chief Digital Officer at BASF, joins us.
Christoph, thank you again for joining us. Really appreciate it. Look, we've had multiple guests, and now we're delighted to have somebody who is part of a large, complex, very important company to the world and, of course, to Germany. You got a kind of unique role. You are the Chief Digital Officer of the company, but you are responsible for the entire IT. So you are the CIO as well. So the question to you is, how is the impact of this crisis being on BASF?
Yes, maybe just to give a little background on my role here in BASF, because that's really special and we're actually very proud about that. We realize that this separated approach in digitalization on the one side and IT on the other side is not any more healthy in a very mature stage. So we decided already 1 year ago that we will bring digital and IT together under one responsibility. We wanted to have it being under the CDO in order to underline digitalization is leading here and not IT. Just beginning of January, we made the next step into that by merging really on the lowest level, the people in the teams, digital and IT, into a new setup, which we call digital products. So we have in BASF 400 digital products. And in each and every digital product, we have IT and digital people. So my feeling was in the first 2 weeks after the lockdown, I was running around with a defibrillator on my hands all the time and had to fix issues. But I think we managed very well. And within a couple of days, we could really stabilize the situation. We have now more than 40,000 people every day in our VPN working in a stable form, which is something that we would never have expected that's even possible before. But we got there, and that's just great.
That's great to hear, Christoph. You had a whole digital agenda, right? I mean, I'm familiar with your digital agenda, which was very ambitious to take the company to the next level of digitization. Does that change? Do you reprioritize things now? What's going on?
No. We are, of course, at the end of the day, we have to now await how the whole situation will further develop. Nobody knows that. That's something, it's an experiment the whole humanity is going into, which is where no one knows where this whole thing is going to. But the current plan is that after having the IT under control, after being now able to focus on our work, to now refocus again on the midterm and long-term targets that we are having. And so we have big projects that are running. For example, we have one project that's called next generation business architecture, which is the change from R3 to S4 and everything around what we want to do as a change. And what we are discussing is how can we now focus in the project without losing the main target on the most relevant things. Let's be pragmatic, let's be smart, and let's not already now commit cash out, commit steps that are not absolutely necessary in the moment until we better see where this whole thing is going to, hopefully already in a few weeks.
So it sounds like more flexibility, more agility, but not changing your bigger picture. And look, I have to admit and compliment you because you guys have had one of the, out of the Dox 30 companies that I am very familiar with. What are you doing in order to prioritize this high compute environment, high performance computing in this crisis?
Yeah, so of course we are trying to help to manage the crisis. So for example, we just donated 100 million masks to the country of Germany because we have special relationships in China. We have relationships to the government there. We are a very big investor in China. We are also in discussions how to offer high-performance computing capabilities in order to help to fight corona. Of course, here, and we have to be aware about that, the big pharma players, they, of course, have a lot of means on their own. So we have to do it in a smart way, connecting our capabilities. High-performance computing is not something that's, I would say, typical for a chemical company. So you can imagine that in a lockdown situation, people with laptops can work from home. But a lab technician who has to be in a laboratory can hardly work from home. And what we see in BASF is that many, many experiments are now transferred from the laboratory into the computers, which we are offering. So that's also, for me, a great sign of the power of digitalization of the company, that by this corona crisis, we are kind of also accelerating digital thinking and digital attitude in a company.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing the things that we are kind of looking at and accelerating today in the middle of this crisis. I want to kind of go into another area related to changes. In this crisis, and I've used a few examples, there's a big tendency towards going to cloud, given its automation, given its flexibility, the speed in which we can deploy it. Do you see an emergence of what I would call vertical clouds, or do you see generic cloud implementation?
Yeah, so no, very great question. So first of all, I think for us, it was not self-explaining still a couple of years ago whether fully committing ourselves to the cloud is the right thing. This old thinking, having everything on-premise, having it behind the fence under control was still there until recent. But nowadays, it's so clear for us and we are fully committed to go fully for the cloud and to transfer everything. And you can imagine our legacy is not easy, so it will take a while in BASF, but to transfer as a perspective everything into the cloud. And I think during the crisis, we saw already the beauty of the cloud because the flexibility, the elasticity of the cloud only allowed that we at the end of the day could, on such short notice, bring all those people in the home office in a situation that they can comfortably work from home. So regarding clouds, of course, we have a problem. We don't want to be locked in. We don't want to be dependent on a certain cloud provider. We want to be free because they have different strengths. And we also don't want to commit everything into one region or into one country. And if you follow recent also political discussions, the whole thinking is becoming more, I would say, focused on the own nation, on the own country. So I think also in that regard, we need to have a strength here in Europe. I'm personally also in the board of the German BDE for digitalization. And we also, of course, intensively there discussing the European way to cloud. We are thinking that the German approach for Gaia-X is very interesting, is also supported. So let's see what we can do in a multi-cloud environment where we have stuff that's really crucial and that has to stay in Europe, that we want to have in Europe, that we have a good solution there.
Christoph, very exciting, although we're living ourselves through this human tragedy and we will get through it for sure. And I thank you for participating and adding insightful information. Thank you, Christoph.
It was exciting to be with you. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Let's continue with partnerships and 5G. I am pleased to have Arun Bansal, who is president of Europe and Latin America at Ericsson, with us.
Arun, hello. Thank you for joining us. The first thing I want to do is thank you, congratulate you. We now have the first 5G, a real 5G network up and running in Center for Connected Industries, CCI in Aachen, and that is a direct collaboration between Deutsche Telekom and Ericsson. So congratulations.
No, likewise, I think it was a great team effort, Adele, and especially during these tough COVID times, we managed to pull this together. That shows the power of partnership and also the technology.
Let me ask you a question, Arun. So with this dynamic, and we just talked about CCI and the challenges we have, how is this impacting 5G rollout? Will it slow it down?
No, I'm convinced that one thing coming out of this COVID, we have seen the healthcare and remote education and importance of 5G will increase even more in during this crisis time to help boost the economy, which is something we all are interested in very much. So I firmly believe that we will see acceleration of 5G in many parts of the world now coming out of COVID.
Okay. We know the situation right now will change, you know, things will progress, and we're all hoping for us finding vaccines and healthcare solutions for this virus. But long-term, if you look at the industrial companies, how are you seeing the long-term impact of this crisis?
I think every single company, and I maybe talk to a lot of companies and industrial partners around the world, and I think every company is looking at business continuity. Coming out of pandemic, of course, the as you said, the immediate focus is the vaccine part, but the business side, companies are looking at how do they come out of it and invest in digitization and automation. I would say that the acceleration of investment will happen by the industries to be much more robust from a business continuity point of view. And I can just give you one reflection from my own experience. Ericsson has started to invest in automation and digitization much earlier, roughly 12, 18 months back. And today we are able to run all our 10 factories around the globe almost at full capacity despite this pandemic, thanks to the investment in automation and digitization.
So you're saying this digital agenda is actually going to be accelerated rather than, you know, delayed, and 5G will play a big role in it. So can you just talk or give examples of some of the use cases that we are beginning to see real time emerge in front of us leveraging 5G when it comes to digitization agenda?
I mean, let me start by just giving a recent example of which we, our both companies, have achieved together. We just launched a joint prototype of private-only 5G campus network, actually integrating T-Systems' autonomous logistic use case through our dedicated network and by utilizing Deutsche Telekom 5G spectrum. I think within next 3 to 4 weeks, we are going to create a virtual reality 3D model for a factory of the future with several use cases. These are just some of the examples where I believe that we can add a lot of value and showcase the value of investment in digitization and 5G technology to industrial partners.
Yeah, absolutely. We are super excited about that, right? So 5G creates this platform where now the things that people were thinking were not possible are becoming possible, right? And it's because of this low latency and ability to create things real time and so on. Now, one area we talked about, you and I, quite a bit is the fact of this edge computing in this 5G campus networks. Give us a little bit more. What does that mean, first of all, for somebody who hasn't heard about that? And why is it important to have that 5G edge compute capability?
I mean, you know, there are several use cases in factories or in other environment which will need very low latency. And I think to be able to get that low latency, you need the edge compute capability to be able to utilize the full capability of 5G and network slice. I think edge compute capability will give enterprises and the large factories capability to run time-critical, latency-critical use cases.
So imagine all that big data that we're collecting from the factory floor and the dynamic there, being able to compute and deliver that output very quickly is critical. A lot of our customers are very large multinational companies, global in nature. But does this same opportunity of 5G campuses and all of this use cases, did that apply to mid-sized companies as well or even smaller companies?
It's a very good question, Adele. And here I would be even bullish to say that the medium-sized companies will benefit even greater than the large-sized companies. I mean, there's a big difference. Large-sized companies have limited resources. And you know the discussion in some parts of the world where they're thinking about applying for their own spectrum. While medium-sized companies, they don't have that resources. They have to depend on public frequency. They have to depend on 5G network together with cellular edge capability. done by companies like Deutsche Telekom, T-Systems. So I particularly believe, even more so coming out of COVID, that these small and mid-sized companies will look at ways to lower their cost and come out of this financial crisis faster, and they will benefit even more the larger companies in the investment in digitization and 5G and campus capability.
Arun, last question. As in all technologies and all new solutions and new capabilities that get rolled out, ecosystems get created. There are different standards that are being introduced. How important are the standards? And then how important are the ecosystems or the partnerships that they need to build when you're rolling out some of these new technologies?
I think it's, again, a very good question. And, you know, the one reason why the cellular technology is successful around the globe connecting 7 billion people is the standardization, where you can use the device from any part of the world. So I think what we need to achieve is to avoid ecosystem fragmentation for two reasons. Number one, the large factories, as you says, global in nature, they would like to have same solution to work in all their campuses. Number two, to lower the cost of connected devices. I think that will only happen by having common standard solution and also the cost of deploying the network itself. That will benefit by having standardization. Having said that, each industries are unique and their needs are unique. And I think that's where I believe that the company like T-System can be a great partner in the digitization journey for industry unique use cases, where you can bring in the ecosystem of telco partners like ourselves, IT partners, OEM system integration capability, and then industry specific hardware software vendor together.
Very good, Arun. Listen, thank you for the insights.
Likewise, let's continue to help our industry partners to be successful in digitization journey.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and stay healthy. If you are interested in more of our CXO podcast, take a look at telecom.com/podcast. Did you like the session? We're happy to receive feedback via podcast@telecom.de. Thank you.